My family and I were on an outing. We stopped at a stoplight on a highway, and all of a sudden I see in my rearview mirror that there is a truck coming straight for us, rammed right into the back of us. It ended up being a four-car pileup. Luckily, we had a luggage rack on the back that took most of the blow, but we still sustained some injuries that needed significant medical care. I felt confident, feeling I can handle all the calls. I know the story. I know how to talk to the insurance agents and file the reports, and I know how to negotiate. I totally thought that I had this. It added up to be too much, and I just wish that I had called the advocates way sooner. I finally called the advocates, and they took it from there. They know the drill. They know how to do this. They ended up getting a settlement for me that was twice the amount that I thought that I could get on my own.
I'm Matt with the Advocates Injury Lawyers. When your family's hurting, you shouldn't have to fight the insurance companies. Let the advocates carry that burden for you. Give us a call.
My family and I were stopped at a stoplight on a highway, and all of a sudden I see a truck coming straight for us, rammed right into the back of us. I felt I can handle all the calls. I know the story. I know how to talk to the insurance agents. It added up to be too much, and I just wish that I had called the advocates way sooner. They ended up getting a settlement for me that was twice the amount that I thought that I could get on my own.
I'm Matt with the Advocates Injury Lawyers. You shouldn't have to fight the insurance companies. Let the advocates carry that burden for you.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Bumper Sticker Wisdom. I'm Jason.
And I'm John.
I just figured I'd throw out a little extra.
Whatever.
We'll say, let Brother John say a quick little prayer and we'll get this thing going.
Sir, Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us the courage and the opportunity and the time to come together and just talk about you a little bit, Father. We just want to lift everything up to you, surrender it all to you, Father God, and just ask that you allow whatever it is that you need people to hear to come out of our mouths, Father God. So we just give up our tongues, we give up our lungs, we give up our minds to you, Father God, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Feel him knucklehead shaking the table.
He scared the bejeebers out of me, man. I had my eyes closed and I was like, I felt something like, ooh.
Yeah, I felt the table shaking around. I was like, oh, dang.
At my 97-pound dog, yeah. German Shepherd.
So me and you were talking. We've talked about this before. Yeah. I had some questions at Bible study one night.
Yep.
About these other people that are super spiritual, super religious, and they have these really strong beliefs in their faith. That's just not Christianity. It's,
yeah, you know,
Muslims and Hindus and,
yeah,
Jews and, yeah, and, you know, there's a million different,
they're all over
subdivisions,
the place,
yeah, of Christianity. Yeah. I mean, so, yeah, I mean, but anyways, the general difference in religion,
yeah,
and you come up with this,
yeah,
video,
yeah,
and this video, we're going to play it. This video, he actually explains it very well.
Yeah.
Which I think gives us a kind of a launch pad onto where to take this,
yeah,
today.
Yeah. I think the important thing to remember about this video is it's centered around the three major religions of the entire world, Judaism, Christianity, and Muslim.
Yeah.
Right. And, yeah, it's very interesting. So it's Phil Nettle. I always forget how to pronounce this dude's name. Yeah. But it's very interesting, so we'll go ahead and go with it.
What is the difference between being a Christian, between being a Jew, between being a Muslim?
All right. So Jews believe that Jesus was not the Messiah and was not a good prophet. And he obviously wasn't God. Muslims believe that Jesus was a very good prophet. And a typical devout Muslim has far more respect for Jesus than a typical American. Because a devout Muslim believes that Jesus was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life. And because he was such a good prophet, God would never allow him to die on a cross, so he took him to heaven. So the cross and the resurrection are wiped out. But a devout Muslim believes that Jesus is going to return a second time. So they believe in Jesus as a good prophet. Repeatedly in the Quran, Muhammad says Jesus is not God.
First of all, before we move forward, because we need to continue on and hear the rest, I just find it very interesting because it has always seemed in my lifetime, look, I'm an American white boy, from a little town in Texas. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, it seems like from my my perspective that it's always been Christian against Muslim, and like they don't even believe in Christ.
And that's not the case.
And to hear that, really the first time I ever recognized that, like, blew the top off of my head, because I was like, wait a minute. They believe he was born of a virgin.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They believe that he was a good prophet. They believe that he didn't die, that he was essentially ascended. That's one thing that's opposed to Christianity.
Yeah.
Because they wouldn't, he wouldn't allow God to, or Christ to die on a cross like that. And then they also believe that he's going to return.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The main difference is they just don't believe that, he's God. God.
Yeah.
Right. Just blew my mind the first time I heard this.
But in the New Testament, the eyewitnesses who saw and heard Christ insisted Jesus claimed to be God by both his words and his actions. Mark chapter 2, he forgives the sins of a man who's lowered on a mat from the ceiling, never even seen the guy before, and all the religious people say, that's blasphemy, only God can forgive sin. Yeah, by claiming to forgive the sin of that guy, Jesus is claiming to be God. And in John 8:58, Jesus says, before Abraham was born, I am. And the Jews did not call God G-O-D. They called him I am, Yahweh. And Jesus very intentionally took the name of the eternal preexistent God, applied it to himself, and they picked up stones to stone him for blasphemy. So, you see, the basic issue is, who is Jesus? And Judaism, Islam, and Christianity disagree. Now, here's my problem with Islam. I have a lot of respect for the fact that one of the five pillars of Islam is give alms to the poor. I respect that. Obviously, Jesus taught that. I appreciate that Muhammad had a very high view of Jesus as a good, good prophet. But here's some of the problems with it. The miracle of Islam is not a person. It's a book, the Quran. In order to know that revelation, the clear revelation of God, the Quran, best, you have to learn Arabic. In other words, God is revealing himself in Arabic most clearly. The miracle of Christianity is not a book. It's not the Bible. It's Jesus Christ.
I want to make sure that the understanding here is that the reason, what he's, the point he's trying to make is the miracle of Islam is that it's exclusive.
Yeah.
It's not inclusive at all. It's very exclusive. If you don't, if you can't speak Arabic, then you aren't allowed, or you better learn.
Yeah.
Right? That's the kind of deal.
The person who is God in human form. So, am I going to be attracted to a religion that says Arabic, that's what you got to go? Or no, Jesus loves the world and gives him his life for everybody. Second difference is, Muhammad came with a sword. And let's be honest, it was not pretty for North Africa and for Europe, what the Muslims did. And one of the largest churches in the...
Okay, another point there. Like, I think that if we... You remember when we were watching The Chosen, how we were talking about how Jesus didn't look like what the Jewish religious leaders believed that he was supposed to look like.
He was going
to
be a general.
Exactly. So in the Muslim side of it, that's exactly right.
Yeah, Muhammad, like, he showed up that way.
Right. He showed up exactly the way the Jewish Pharisees, Sadducees, religious leaders expected Christ to show up as. And I just find it interesting, the contrast.
Yeah.
The second and third century was in Egypt, and that church got slaughtered. So Muhammad came with a sword. Jesus came with a towel, and he served people. And I am convinced that the reason that more people are followers of Christ than any other religion is because of his love, his serving, as well as his truth that he outlined very, very clearly. So those are two of the reasons that I think it's very difficult to be intellectually honest and to go down the path of Islam, because there are some real contradictions. The third one is this. Muhammad was born in 570 AD, lived till about 632 AD. So obviously he never met Jesus. He insisted that Jesus never claimed to be God. Sorry, the eyewitnesses who saw Jesus, who heard Jesus, clearly wrote he claimed to be God. Now, who am I going to trust? Am I going to trust a guy who was born 570 years after the fact, who obviously never met Jesus? Or am I going to trust the eyewitnesses? Well, that's a no-brainer. Every single time I want to find out about any historical figure, I want to press the information back as far as I can, hopefully to the eyewitnesses. So Jesus clearly claimed to be God.
So I was on my motorcycle, is going through this intersection, and this car just turns left in front of me. They said they didn't see me, obviously. Broke my arm, busted my shoulder. A buddy told me to call the advocates. But, you know, I've always been skeptical of lawyers, right? I called them. They were on my side for sure. They took care of everything.
I'm Matt with the Advocates Injury Lawyers. I totally get that bikers are independent, but when someone else causes a crash, you need a team as tough as you.
Which is a fundamental philosophical and religious mistake that Muhammad and the Quran are making when they deny the deity of Christ.
What is the difference between...
Yeah.
A lot. The person that posted this specific video, Savior of Humanity, it looks like. I just want to make sure. It's not their original content either. It's just a share. We got this off of TikTok. I just thought it was very interesting. It's something that you and I had kind of talked about in the past, and I am not intellectual enough or have a great enough understanding of the opposing, how it actually all started.
My question was, for all these people that are like, you know, clearly like Muslims, most Muslims, I mean, they're so in tune with their beliefs and their spirituality and their religion that, I mean, you can't even consider breaking them of that any little bit.
Right. Not even a little.
So what happens with them if the only way to God is through Christ?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they don't believe that Christ is God.
Yeah. The sad part of that is that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, right? He is the answer. And so if we refuse to accept that fact, then that's where the bad news starts to come in.
Yeah.
Right? The good news is about Jesus Christ. It's all about that.
Yeah.
It's about the fact that he conquered death, sin, and the grave at the cross. You know what I mean? We watched that other video where it was talking about why the crucifixion was as it was, as why was Christ's hands pierced? Why was Christ's feet pierced? Why was his side pierced? Why was he put on a cross? Because to be hung on a tree was considered to be, you were nothing.
Yeah.
Right. That's like in the context of the culture, you know what I mean? Like that was, you know, it's, so that's why I also found it interesting how in Islam, they're like, you know, there's no way, because this man was so good, there's no way that God would allow him to die such a kind of death. You know what I'm saying? We got to be careful looking at all that food.
No, no, actually.
Go ahead.
I was reading that.
Okay, it's a thing about your name.
Yeah, that's what I was reading. I was trying to see what mine was, because mine has pasture in there, and I was like,
we'll test that out later. But I just found it very interesting. And if you want to be honest, brother, the pastoral piece of it, we're all actually called to be pastors, just in different formats.
Yeah.
Right. Just because we're called to be fishers of men doesn't mean we're meant to fish from the pulpit, right? Yeah. Like we're supposed to be on the stage delivering messages and stuff that. This is pastoral work that we're doing right here. Now we always say that we're presenting a perfect man in a not so perfect way, because we recognize like we don't have the highest level of understanding. We're trying to learn, and that's part of this, right? So every time we come to this table, we do talk about it the way we understand it, but we're open to somebody expressing a difference of opinion or a difference of thought or a better understanding.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm not afraid of that. That's why we have guests in the room. You know what I mean? I want somebody not to oppose, but to oppose, have an opposing view so that we can talk about it. Help me to understand it. And I don't think that we have ever been shy about that or asking people, or I don't think we give off the vibe that you can't have a discussion with us. You know what I mean? Just because you don't see it the same way. And I would have no qualms with having a real conversation with somebody that is a strict Jew or a strict Muslim, you know what I mean? I would have no problems with that. I'm not as well versed because we're not raised that way.
Yeah.
Right. Judaism and Muslim it's a dedicated from the time you're born kind of thing. Yeah. Sadly, because of the freedom of Christianity and because of the freedom of knowing Christ and the freedom of knowing that the debt has been paid, we lead a different life, right? Yeah. So we're not quite as dedicated. Yeah. So they will slay me if they're very well versed, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I got you.
That's the only problem that I would have. Somebody like a Phil Nettle, who is very intellectually attached and understands not only Christianity, but Judaism and Muslim culture and the religion itself, would do far better with somebody who, like that than I would.
Yeah.
But I'm not afraid of it.
Yeah.
Hey, I'll fight my battle. I'll swing my sword. You know what I mean? I will bring to you the testimony. I'll bring to you what I know, what I've recognized about God, what Christ has done in my life, the freedom of knowing that, the freedom of recognizing that we're all sinners.
Yeah.
And if we're relying on ourselves, I don't care which religion it is, if we're relying on ourselves, we're all going to fail.
Yeah.
In this one, it's not about relying on yourself. It's about relying on what Christ did.
Yeah.
And believing that that's the truth.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's not about, oh, I get to continue on living in sin or living a poor, bad life. You know what I mean? And that's opposed to God's will. Yeah. It's not that.
Yeah.
That's people who have a wrong view, right? Yeah. It is about improvement and like changing your life. And we can go on and on and on about that, but it really is about life change. Yeah. You know, we talk about, just look at your life in 5-year blocks. You know what I mean? Between 5 years ago to today, and then the 5 years prior to that. You know what I'm saying? As you go down this path, bro, I'm way, way, way past where I started.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Am I perfect? Absolutely not. I do a ton of things that I shouldn't do, and I probably know I shouldn't do. Sometimes I do things I don't even know I'm not supposed to do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it's not condemnation, right? Yeah. That's the deal.
Yeah.
Those other ones, it's always condemnation. Like, you got to pay recompense. You got to pay repentance. You got to pay the penalty for your sin.
Yeah. Yeah, and our penalty's already been paid.
100%.
Yeah.
The check's been written,
yeah,
and it doesn't bounce.
Who am I to carry sin when his blood caused a drought? That's one of my people. Not my people, like personally my people. It's one of the people I listen to.
There you go. But what's the name of that song recently? It's interesting because I've been thinking about worship a lot lately. We haven't really talked about it. There's a song called Made for More. I was made for more. And he says, why would I make a bed in my own shame when a fountain of grace is running my way?
It is. Josh Baldwin, made for more.
That's crazy, man. Think about that lyric. Think about those words.
Well, we sing that too.
Yeah.
We sing it at church.
At church, yeah. Yeah.
And some of them, like, what really gets me, and it gets me amped up, and I really just want to throw my hands up and reach for the sky, is when the singers on stage kind of go mute for a second, and you can hear everybody in the church.
Yeah, going.
Singing that song. Like, there's no lead vocalist, you know, they've done that a couple times. They'll kind of quiet themselves out and just let the crowd actually do the singing. And that's when it's like, okay, everybody in this building
is
praising the same way. Yeah.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams winter sale and get 30% off paints and stains January 9th through the 19th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
I mean, if that doesn't give you goosebumps and make you feel like our Lord and Savior is sitting in there with us,
right,
then you're never going to get that feeling. You know what I mean? Because that's exactly what it feels like. Like, my hairs on my arms start standing up. I get choked up. I start getting kind of teary-eyed. Like, everything at that moment in juncture is just screaming, he is with us. You know what I mean?
Yes, yes.
And it's almost like you can feel that radiant feeling, that you can feel him there.
Yeah. There is a scripture that says that God, he inhabits the praises of his people. You know what I mean? And so, like, everybody in that room is actually the ones, you know, I would say there's probably about 80% that are surrendered to the moment, right? Yeah. There's another 20% that are fighting it,
yeah.
Right?
Well, because, a prime example is, there's only, I'm doing good if two songs a month get me that way. You know what I mean? And it's not that I'm not worshiping or that I don't appreciate it. It's just I have to, certain songs during praise and worship have to hit me a certain way.
Yeah.
I'm not one of them that can just throw my arms up to every single song.
No.
I want to be that way.
Yeah.
But if it's not something that's actually reaching me at the time or touching me, touching my soul at the time.
Absolutely.
It's hard to have that genuine reaction. It goes back to like what we were talking about last night.
I was just going to bring that up. Yeah.
That Bible study.
Yeah.
If it's not if we send books and chapters to read out of the Bible to everybody in a Bible study, we all play a different role. We all have different days. And we were talking about the fact that if someone sends a book that you just aren't feeling,
he's
not going to read it. You'll go read another one or
there's been that something. And somebody took offense, not offense, but they were kind of, had an offended approach at like nobody responds to me. Like and it's like, bro, it's not you. It's just like I'm not the disingenuous person. I'm a very genuine person. If I read that and it doesn't strike me, I'm not gonna be like, great read. I'm not that guy. You know what I mean? I'm not.
Yeah.
If it is, I will definitely be like, dude, great job. That's
perfect timing.
Perfect timing. Yeah, absolutely.
But another part of it too is just that like correlates with like what we're talking about with our praise and worship.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. Like, every now and then I get really surprised by something that one of our Bible study members sins. And it's oh wow, man. That was
a good one.
Yeah. That was a good one. You know, that was very impactful. It kind of falls in line with like what I'm dealing with this week or whatever, you know, and that
or something. Yeah.
Yeah. And that really kind of hits me, but it's other times it's like,
thanks a lot. Good effort, baby.
I did my part, I read it, you know, but then there's times when I open it up and I look at it and I'm like,
I don't think that's what God is asking of us, man. I don't think God wants us to
that goes back to that robotic.
Yeah, no, he's not looking for falsehood.
No.
He's not looking for you to say, I love you and not mean it.
The more genuinely it affects you and brings out a genuine response, I think, is more pure for him than.
Can I tell you something interesting? So when we're at church together, we all sit in kind of this row of four rows.
We take up a whole section.
There's a section, like a sprinkling of a few people that don't belong, but they're there.
They're in our spots.
But, like, you're always directly in front of me, and I'm directly behind you. And you don't see me, but I see you.
Yeah.
And I'm not looking at you or anything, but it's when you notice it, I find it very interesting that whenever you're in that space, I'm in that space too.
Yeah.
It's like almost every single time we're in the exact same space. It's like I'm over here like, whew, getting emotional and like I could just feel the presence and the emotion is not sadness, it's overwhelmed.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh my goodness.
Well, sometimes you'll see me kind of turn. And I'll have my shirt and I'll be wiping the side of my eye like I'm leaking. But
I'm sprung up real
leak. It's like you said. It's actually not tears of any kind of sadness or emotion. Really, it's just it's overwhelming. You're feeling like I've always like it's so amazing.
Yeah.
When that feeling hits me.
Yeah.
Those are the kind of moments where it's like.
Yeah.
Yes, God. Like, yes. thank you so much for me being here to feel this, to witness this, to be able to enjoy this.
Those are those moments when you're in exactly the right place at exactly the time you're supposed to be. Yeah. Like, you know, I am right where God has designed me to be.
Those moments have hit me when I didn't even want to go to church, too.
Like, I'm saying.
Like, I wake up and I'm like, and, you know, of course, my wife is as pure as you can imagine.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to the husband leading the family to church.
Sure.
She wants to go, and she's looking to me to be yes or no. And if I'm leaning towards no, she's like, so are you not wanting to go? And I'm never going to tell her, no, I don't want to go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not going to be that guy because I can see it suck the wind out of her sails.
Right.
But what I do is are those times when, sorry.
You're good.
There are those times when I don't want to go, but I tough it out because my wife and my kid are looking at me and they're like, hey, you know, like, what's up with dad?
We're up. We're ready.
Yeah. And if I say no, you can tell like the whole household just looks like, oof.
Yeah.
So we go. And I don't want to, I mean, it's not that I don't want to be there. I wasn't feeling it.
Yeah.
I was feeling, you know, I stayed up a little late the night before, whatever. But then I get there and I have those moments. And that's what...
That's even more emotional.
Yeah, because then it just ropes me in completely.
Come on, bro. I mean, I don't know. Okay. Look, you've said many times, like, I'm a mentor to you, right? If I sat here and said I don't have moments just like that, come on, bro. I am there relatively every Sunday. I mean...
Yeah, for two services every Sunday.
Pretty much every Sunday. And I'm not going to lie to you and say that I wake up every Sunday like, woohoo,
yeah,
let's go worship the Lord. Yeah. There are plenty of Sundays that I wake up and I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, just need a break.
I'm not ready for you, God, basically.
Yeah.
That's how I feel like I'm saying. You know, I'm not saying that.
That's not necessarily what it is.
It's
I know
not.
What you're talking about. Yeah. It's not so much that. It's just.
I just want to sit around and relax a little bit. You know what
overwhelmed.
I mean?
It's like, okay, look. I need some me time. You know what I
mean?
The
thing is, though, is here's, okay, we'll talk about a contrast of things, right? So my well is already dry because I've poured out through the week, right, from Sunday to Sunday. You know, we've poured into podcasts. We've done Bible studies. We've done couples groups. We've done all these things. And I've also had a little bit of time in the evening, sometimes on like Thursdays or Fridays where we don't really have anything going on necessarily. And I'm not really engaged with anything. I'm just BSing.
Yeah.
Playing my guitar or whatever.
Yeah.
Playing football on a video game or something. It whatever. I don't have kids at home anymore, so I can do whatever I want. You know what I'm saying? Like and I get to the next Sunday and I'm just not feeling it. And don't get me wrong, I have heeded that call before and I'm like, you know what? I'm not gonna go today.
Yeah.
Can I tell you the outcome of that decision is far, far and away worse than choosing
just
to go.
Sucking it up and going.
Yeah. Because that following week, my well is already empty and now it's double empty.
Yeah. Now you're just having to go back through the whole process without any fulfillment.
That's right. But having made the decision to go, I have never once gone and been like, that was a bad decision.
Yeah.
I wish I hadn't done that.
When you don't go, it's like, I should have went to church.
I should have just gone.
Yeah. We missed a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
I don't remember what we had. We had.
You've had a lot of things going on.
We've had a lot of crazy stuff going on. But we had, I don't remember what it was. We had.
Y'all had some stuff with the house.
Yeah. We had people coming to eat. We had some other stuff. We had family coming to eat. We had some stuff going on with the house. We had other stuff going on, and you know, it's just, my wife had to clean.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't go, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna get up and watch it online at least.
Yeah.
You know, while we're doing all our stuff around the house and we're trying to get everything ready and all
that. I will say that's better than the alternative of not doing anything.
Didn't even open my computer.
Didn't open.
I didn't even go over there. I didn't even walk near it. Like it was sitting there. I take that back. It was sitting there open.
Right.
But it's plugged in and off.
Right.
And I walked by it to go outside and walked right back in. And I walked back out there to go outside. And then I had to mow. That was another part of it too. And then we had, We did. We had inspections at the house.
Yes.
That's what it was.
I remember that. I remember because I talked to you on Saturday night.
Yeah.
And you were like, I was like, oh, I'll see you tomorrow. And you're like, no. Mm-hmm. And you were like, but
we had made that conscious decision that day that because we had to meet, inspectors at the house. We had to do some other stuff. And
yeah.
I love this guy.
George Janko.
Dude, he has some really good stuff. And I like how his outlook on spirituality is the same, like, childish demeanor like mine is. Like, he's way further educated than I am. Sure. He knows his stuff, but his excitement, the way he gets.
Like, I feel like he's somebody that we could have a good conversation with.
Yeah.
Honestly. I mean.
Sorry, I didn't mean to get all distracted. I seen you look over there, and I saw him out of the corner of my eye, and I was like, oh, yeah.
Well, you know, as I'm sitting here and we're talking, I'm kind of scrolling around to see if there was something else that pertains to what we're talking about, because I save hundreds of videos, you know. Yeah. But
Your TikTok feed looks like mine.
It's food, it's Jesus, and a little sports or something.
And then I see, like, I'll be going through mine, and there's a bunch of them that the video's not available anymore. Yeah, and I'm somehow, like, I wonder what that is.
That's a good question. I don't know that. I mean, as far as I know, we don't have any of those. There's all kinds.
Yeah.
But back to kind of that conversation about that being in those intense moments in worship, and like those are the moments where you're getting filled, right? And you know, sometimes in God's word, it talks about your cup overflowing.
Yeah.
Those are what we're talking about, right? Like it's. You get so full so fast, and you can't help but spill it onto other people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, like, so, like, this past Sunday, I know you were having one of those moments. I was, too.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I read this. I think I read this when I was trying to fill up my book of bumper sticker wisdom over here. I was trying to go find some other wisdom. I read something, and I'm pretty sure I read this. And it really talked about a posture towards God. Like, you know, I think it said one day, instead of asking God what he could do for me, I asked him, what can I do for you?
Yeah.
It's not exactly how it was worded, but it was something similar to that. And I was in prayer. Like, that's kind of how I worship, right? I'm very rarely this guy. You know, I don't always have my hands in the air. I'm kind of this guy, you know what I mean? I have one hand out or whatever.
I'm a freak, dude. Sometimes I have both arms.
Hey, that's cool.
I have them so high up, my belly's hanging out of my freaking shirt. You know what I mean?
I only have to do one for my shirt.
I'm like this. And then I'm like, oh.
Well, I'll say this. Like, I'm not necessarily jealous. I think that we all have our own way of worship. I do think that there are times whenever I'm fighting it. Where, like, I feel like God's asking me to surrender, and I'm kind of like, embarrassed or shy.
Not
or,
right now. Yeah, not right now.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. And if I walk in with an attitude, like if I hadn't had the best morning and I walk in, I'm like.
Got your hands in your pockets.
I'm pissed off, and I just cross my arms and I stand there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Like, we all have them.
I'm not doing it. I'm not giving in to you. But then sometimes, like, he gives you those humbling moments where it's like, oh, you ain't?
Oh, yeah?
Boop. Now what?
That's exactly right.
But you know what I mean?
But so I was having my moment, and I'm praying, and I'm like kind of having some powerful prayer. But, you know, that's kind of one of my best times for prayer, actually, is during worship. And I don't know. I just was kind of stopped for a minute and stopped saying anything. And I just said, what can I do for you? Mm-hmm. What, not what do you want from me? How can I help you?
Yeah.
And literally, and look, I'm going to say I didn't hear it audibly, but like, it's just, you just hear it. You know what I mean?
You hear it like a feeling though.
Exactly.
Like when Jesus is tugging on your heartstrings, he's not going to say, hey, get over here and put your hands up.
Yeah.
You're going to do it because you can't control yourself. It's like, here we go. Yep.
I got a question.
Yeah.
It's kind of how it looks. But yeah. I took that posture with him and was just asking God, just what is it that I can do for you? And literally the feeling was – just keep fighting.
Yeah.
It's don't stop.
Yeah.
And again,
yeah,
it happened all in this very fast, like little 10-second moment. You know what I mean? I took this posture of, I was a little more elevated, not like with my hands down towards my waist, but a little more up in the air. And I'm just like, what can I do for you? How can I help you? You know what I mean? And I hear, just keep fighting. And I'm like, I got you. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to quit. I don't care what happens. I'm not going to quit.
Yeah.
I'm not going to stop. I'm going to keep doing it. I'm going to keep doing it. Even if it doesn't look like anything's happening, even if it doesn't look like it's growing, even if it doesn't look like I'm making an impact, I'm going to keep doing it anyway.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I'm kind of just surrendering that to him. And literally as I cracked my eyes open, that's what I saw.
Yeah.
Still fighting. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And this is the tattoo that I have on my wrist. And yeah, it's real convenient that's there. Right.
And
like anybody could probably pick that apart a little bit and be like, well, you know, it's because you have that there. You probably had it in your mind already. And I'm like, I'm trying to tell you, no, this is legitimate. And it was genuine. And my heart was in a position of literally just trying to hear what it is that God wants from me. Not just what he wants from me, but what I can do. What am I not doing that I should be doing?
Yeah.
You know, and to hear just keep doing it, just keep doing what you're doing is a very empowering.
Yeah.
But also humbling. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's just keep doing it. It's empowering because of all the doubt, you know what I mean? Like, I know you're like me, like we're so similar in the way we think and things like that. Like constantly doubting myself and just doubting this and doubting what I'm doing on Mondays or what we're doing on Mondays and doubting what we're doing on Wednesdays and doubting what I'm doing with the church in general, like teaching kids and stuff like that. Doubting myself, in the altar ministry when it's time to pray for people, to really feel like God's just saying, just keep doing what you're doing. It's like, it's kind of relieving. You know what I mean? It takes for a second. It's not for very long because my human mind like comes flooding back real fast. it just kind of removed all the doubt for a second.
Yeah.
You know, that even if it doesn't look like what I expect it to or whatever, or I don't, even if I don't see the impact, it's still there. Right. And then humbling to think that God sees it that way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, bro, you're doing fine. You're right where you need to be.
Yeah.
That's a pretty big day.
Forgot where I was going with that.
Dang it.
Well, I got sidetracked because I looked down to see this the dad joke book, and I saw the dad joke thing over there.
I kind of put that up, but...
But no, yeah, like what you're saying, like those moments that you have, those aha moments that really kind of affect you and really kind of swing you into a different direction.
Yeah.
Those, I think, are how that you can, I'm not saying that's how you can prove that Christ is real or Christ is with you.
Right.
Like that, but almost similar to that. That's how you get the validation that Christ is with you.
Yeah.
Like when you have those, because I have not had very many of those where I'm like, oh, like, holy crap. Like,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yep.
I have not had those, or maybe I have, and I just haven't paid attention.
Yeah. You didn't recognize it.
Didn't recognize that that's what it was. But when I fight it plenty, but when I have those moments, it's really, when they're strong enough, you can't turn those away.
That's fair. I mean,
you know what I mean? Yeah, like when absolutely. I raised my hand to be saved.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it was just like, and I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And then there, he's like, thank you, young man. I'm like, oh, geez, too late now. He done saw me. Yeah. And then they were talking about baptism.
Yeah.
You know, it's like me and you had been talking about it for a long time.
Yeah. It'd been a while.
And it was immediately, I turned and looked at you and was like, we're doing this.
Such an honor. Such a cool thing.
And it is a very cool thing. It's very cool to actually be there for somebody to do that. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Shortly after you baptized me, I baptized Tanner.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was amazing. But when you have those really heavy moments and everything is going on, I think the biggest mistake you can make is fight it.
For sure.
The biggest mistake you can make.
For sure, yeah.
Let it happen, because you're drawing yourself closer.
Yeah.
I mean, you're really actually absorbing the closeness that he's presenting. Like, he's putting himself right there in reach. And all you got to do is just open your arms.
When he says, like, I knock, he's knocking on the door, right? All you got to do is open it, baby. Yeah. That's all you got to do is open the door. And a lot of times that's what we do fight. You're absolutely right, man. Like, I think that, those are where you start to identify strongholds in your life, right? Whenever you know God is calling you towards or away from something and you're fighting it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Those are those moments whenever it's like, okay, look, God is clearly trying to work on something in you. This is either not good for you, or is exactly what you're supposed to do, even though it looks not like it's not supposed to.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, this may look like it's not going to be good for you, but this is what you need to be doing.
Yep. What was that scripture last week?
Maybe it's most of the time it's not that you look at it like, oh, this ain't good for me. It's like you look at it and you're like, I don't feel like doing that.
Yeah.
Or I don't want to do that. That's uncomfortable. Like, why would you ask me to do something that makes me so uncomfortable? Like,
goodness
so
gracious.
You fight it because it's like, that's not easy.
Yeah,
that's not comfortable. You know what I mean?
Failing to recognize that God created you for that purpose.
Yeah, this is the reason that you're here.
and the problem is, most of us, the reason we fight it is because we don't feel like we're equipped to do it.
Yeah.
Right?
I fight it because exactly what it is. I don't feel like I'm equipped to do it, but it's simply in, like, I don't feel like I'm fit to lead that specific thing that he's calling me to do. You know, it's like, I mean, I don't know about that. I'm gonna look like an idiot. You know what I'm saying? Like, when I start getting wound up, I get very clumsy on my words.
Sure.
So I'm like, and I don't want to do that in front of people that I feel like if I have a calling to mentor someone and I don't know them that well. Yeah. I don't want to get up there and sound like Daffy Duck. You know what I'm saying?
Never mind. I can't do it. I was fixing to. I can't do it. I understand what you're saying.
Or Picky Porky Pig. Say there. You know what I mean? Like, all that to get that out there, huh? Come on, Junior. Yeah. All that,
spit
just,
it out!
All that just to get them three freaking words out, huh?
Oh, my goodness, man. You know what? You know Moses had a problem with that too, right? Like, he had a speech impediment.
I don't have a speech impediment.
No,
what
you don't.
Happens to me is when I get wound up, like, I get passionate about something and I'm trying to get it off my chest, like, you know, trying to get it off my chest.
Yeah.
It's just I fumble my words. I'm dragging my toes, basically. And it's,
your mind knows where it wants to go, but the tongue doesn't know how to follow.
What happens is my mind is going faster than my mouth can.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so my mouth is just like, and I'm completely off subject, but same thing, just you know, for about 2.5 weeks our shop foreman was on vacation.
Yeah.
And I was having to lead our safety meetings.
Yeah. You're not a good meetings guy?
No, I'm a great meetings guy. I'm happy. I'm handling my business, but you're asking me to sit here and read verbatim a page in front of 20 people in a room the size of this freaking boot. And it's
safety is very technical.
Yeah. And so I hit the cliff notes on that. I hit the cliff notes. I skipped through it. Everybody's like, you read all that already? I'm like, yes, sir.
I read what you needed to hear.
It's a full sheet. Full sheet. I'm through with that thing in less than 2 minutes.
That's funny.
Speaking of kind of just knowing you're in the right place, exactly where God had you, it was kind of, it all correlates, right? It all correlates back to where this conversation kind of started and to where I was today. And it was something I wanted to talk about already. It's funny how this conversation evolved into this, right? From starting with the difference between Christianity, Judaism, and Muslim. You know what I mean? But
that's what we say on every episode, though. We always have that.
Yeah.
Where did this all come from? Like, how did this? But what is very important to remember in the process of us always doing this, we keep the same person and the same goal in mind.
Yeah.
So it's really like it may go from one end of the spectrum to the other, but it's still centered the same because we're keeping it the same.
Absolutely.
We're trying to keep it, you know, God-centered.
The energy's still the same every time.
Yeah, energy's still the same, and we're just touching on different ways of how it coincides with other stuff. But it's really easy. That's really why I felt like we should do that video tonight to start with, because I just knew it was going to have one of those.
It had that reaction.
It had that domino effect to it. Yeah. Like, as soon as it popped up, I was like, yeah, we're doing this one.
So this morning, for quite some time, every morning I would send messages to my five children, right?
Yeah.
And things got a little hectic for a while, and I wasn't doing it. So I've been trying to recommit to doing that. Started yesterday, back to today. One of my children has always asked me to send a scripture to them because I used to do it years ago. And the first scripture I came across, or the scripture I came across, gosh, I got to find it first because I don't remember what it was, but I'm going to read this to you and then just kind of talk through this whole thing that kind of took place for me today. And again, I know you weren't involved, but in my mind, you're always involved. So.
Oh, yeah, no problem.
Isaiah chapter 44, verse 3 is what I shared. And it said, "For I will pour out water to quench your thirst and to irrigate your parched fields. And I will pour out my spirit on your descendants and my blessing on your children." And it's just literally like the thing it made me think of is there's a story in the book of Ezekiel, right? And I believe this is a prophetic story. Or it's a vision. Like, it's not something that literally took place, but it's a vision of something that took place. And it's Elisha in a valley of dry bones, right? And in this vision, God is talking to him. This is Old Testament, right? So Christ isn't involved technically as a person. God is talking to Elisha, and like they're like whittled down. This Jewish people are whittled down to nothing, and that like enemies on all sides kind of situation. And God gives him this. Should I just read the scripture? Yeah. Would it make better sense if I do that? Sure. So instead of me trying to fumble through, tell it.
For sure.
Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1-14. It says, "The Lord took hold of me, and I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley filled with bones. He led me all around among the bones that covered the valley floor. They were scattered everywhere across the ground and were completely dried out. Then he asked me, 'Son of man, can these bones become living people again?' Sovereign Lord, I replied, 'You alone know the answer to that.' Then he said to me, 'Speak a prophetic message to these bones and say, dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Look, I am going to put breath into you and make you live again. I will put flesh and muscles on you and cover you with skin. I will put breath into you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord.' So I spoke this message as he told me. Suddenly, as I spoke, there was a rattling noise all across the valley. The bones of each body came together and attached themselves as complete skeletons." That's trippy. If this is something that literally happened, right? "Then as I watched, muscles and flesh formed over the bones, then skin formed to cover their bodies, but they still had no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Speak a prophetic message to the winds, son of man. Speak a prophetic message and say, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Come, breath from the four winds. Breathe into these dead bodies so they may live again.' So I spoke the message as he commanded me, and breath came into their bodies. They all came to life and stood up on their feet, a great army. Remember, I was saying, like, they were kind of like in a very dire situation.
Yeah.
Right. Then he said to me, "Son of man, these bones represent the people of Israel. They are saying, 'We have become old, dry bones. All hope is gone. Our nation is finished.' Therefore, prophesy to them and say, 'This is what the Sovereign Lord says. My people, I will open your graves of exile and cause you to rise again. Then I will bring you back to the land of Israel. When this happens, my people, you will know that I am Lord. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live again and return home to your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done what I said. The Lord has spoken." I always like it when he said, I've spoken. But let's see if I can connect these dots where my mind was at, and like where God was kind of showing me like I was kind of in the right place. So I had no reason to find this Isaiah chapter 44 scripture, right? I had no reason. I was just kind of thumbing through things, right? And I went to, for whatever reason, I went to Isaiah 43 or 45, one or the other. And I was like, eh. And I went to either the before or after. And I started reading it, and that one struck me.
Yeah.
That first one. And so I shared it. And that's what it made me think of, was the Valley of Dry Bones. Because think about it as life, right? We talk about this all the time, about how you actually brought up yesterday about how it's like we feel like we're always disconnected, right? Like I'm connected and then I'm not, and I'm connected and then I'm not, right? The truth of the matter is we're all the Valley of Dry Bones. We're all the dry bones at points in our life, right? But what does God do? Like he literally pours out the spirit upon you, rebuilds you, and breathes life back into you. And you're right back where you started, you know, or right back where you were the last time. You know what I mean?
The key to that is not losing a step.
Yeah, we talk about that a lot too.
Like, can't lose a step. Just stay on the path. You may feel like you ventured off, and that's okay. Just don't take any steps backwards.
Yeah. Get parallel to that step. Yes. Right?
Just stay moving. Right. Because when he brings you back, you're still going to be that much further ahead. But if you stop or go backwards, that's really hard to get the momentum to really kind of go.
To start going back forward.
Yeah.
So to bring this into full context, this is what's going on inside of here, right? I'm not speaking to anybody but God.
Yeah.
Right? Several weeks back, I told a story about a young man who at my work came to me and told me that he heard about my podcast, our podcast, and he was like, "I had no idea that you were spiritual at all."
Yeah.
Right? And I remember saying, like, it kind of like, in the moment, it was like a negative. Like, I started to take it as a negative, but then I was reminded that, like, you know, it's an opportunity to present yourself in a way that is conducive to people understanding.
Oh, I guarantee you people don't look at me and think that.
Oh,
I don't present myself in a way that people think I do what I do.
Sometimes.
Maybe, but sometimes most of the time they're probably like, if they were to hear that these, you know, I have spoke about it. I tell people that we do this, and I have cards on my desk, and I have stickers on my desk, and I have all that stuff, and people walk in, they look, and they don't really, when they ask, I tell them, and they're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, thanks for the interest, but
check it out.
Yeah.
You know?
You might ought to tune in. We're doing amazing things. Amazing things.
We're doing things that God is asking us to do.
Yes. The things that God wants us to do.
That's right. Well, I don't know. I haven't said anything, but I haven't talked to that kid since that day. This has been probably at least 2 months, right? Seriously, haven't talked to him in at least 2 months. Said hi, like, hey, what's up, man? That's it. But not an actual conversation of any kind. At random today, as I'm having all these thoughts and all this trying to think of this Valley of Dry Bones and how we are the Valley of Dry Bones sometimes in our life, this young man walks into my office and just starts pouring on me about this moment that he had, about literally being in a season of dry bones. And like,
oh, wow.
how he had this revelation over the weekend while he went to the football game in Lubbock on Saturday, And while they were riding back, like, he had this revelation of, like, I'm ready. Like, God's been speaking to me to, like, I'm ready to really surrender myself at this point. Like, I'm ready to really commit to this relationship and to this walk.
Yeah.
So coming out of the season of dry bones into the season of life, you know, he's literally taking you out of death into life. Yeah. And I'm like, how wild is that?
That's what you've been thinking about.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. How? In my mind, again, because of the way I work, the only way that I can equate it is that God was in it and that's what he intended.
Yeah.
Right? And it's a moment where we get an affirmation point where it's like, you're exactly where I want you to be.
Yeah.
Not forever, but you're where I want you to be right now.
But for right now, yeah.
You know what I mean? That's the thing. So I just found it really cool. It was a really interesting and it was another empowering yet humbling thing that happened today. And I actually told him, I was like, well, that's going in the podcast.
Yeah. that's pretty cool.
We had a lot of conversation about it.
Wow. Yeah. So I have where are we at timeline wise?
Yeah, 56.
Okay, I'll go ahead and do this. Do you want to hear a joke about a piece of paper? Never mind, it's terrible.
Oh, it's terrible. I sent you a couple this week.
Yeah, I know. I should have freaking fired off one of them.
I'll leave the one, save that one, but the last one I sent you, which you were like, that's terrible. I was like, yeah, it is. But it
I got it. I got to read that one. When does a joke become a dad joke? When it becomes apparent.
That was a good one. That's not the one you said was terrible.
No, I can't find the other one.
I sent that to the same number.
Surely. September 8th. It goes from September 8th to September 14th to September 20th to Saturday.
Oh, say, okay, so okay, here it is. So, if I can remember, let's see if I can remember it. Where do cow farts come from? The derriere.
Oh, yeah. See, even that wouldn't even register into me. You said that, and I was like, that's not it.
The dairy air. The
dairy, no, but that as soon as you started telling that joke, I was like, that's not even it. But then I'm like, oh, yeah.
That isn't it.
That's how fried my memory is.
I got a 5-minute warning. Sorry.
Get that sent out.
Well, if he can come back quick enough, we can still do it. Sure. Why not? Edith Wharton. There are two ways of spreading light. To be the candle or the mirror that reflects it.
Oof. That's a pretty good one.
It's a pretty good one. I like that a lot.
Uh-oh. 2, 3, and 4?
Holy smolies. Smoke? What the heck did I just say?
Holy smolies. Colossians 2, 3, and 4.
Colossians 2, 3, and 4. Well, Bumper Sticker Wisdom, he made it before we're done, so we got to do it.
Yeah, it's coming in. Fired it in hot. Hold on, let me get my Bible app open.
Yes, sir.
I like to personally read it myself while it's being read.
He said 2, 3, and 4.
Yeah. Who is this guy?
He's like, no, we ain't going to do, we're not going to do one chapter. We're doing three chapters.
Three, yeah, Colossians. Where approximately is that?
So it would be in the New Testament. It's after Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians.
Oh, Colossians, okay. 2.
Okay. I'm curious why he sent this in the first place. He must be reading it.
Yeah. You know what he's doing, right?
I have no idea.
Well, because, okay, so Colossians chapter 2 is pretty short.
And we talked about this last night about
5 minutes.
5 minutes.
Okay.
Three is really short too. So I know why he did that. And I do respect that because he kept it in the same book.
Yeah. Go Colossians chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 3.
I mean, keep it in the same book because you get on a roll with all that and it's really easy to stay going. But if you get.
Well, let's see how if it's connected here. The last two times it was very connected.
Yeah.
Colossians chapter 2. This is Paul writing to the book, to the book, to the church. I want you to know how much
Hold on.
I want you to know how much I have agonized for you and for the church at Laodicea and for many other believers who have never met me personally. I want them to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. I want them to have complete confidence that they understand God's mysterious plan, which is Christ himself. What is God's mysterious plan? Christ himself. In him lie hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I am telling you this so no one will deceive you with well-crafted arguments. For though I am far away from you, my heart is with you, and I rejoice that you are living as you should and that your faith in Christ is strong. Now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus our Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong and the truth you were taught, strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. So you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. When you came to Christ, you were, quote, circumcised, but not by a physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of your sinful nature. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. You were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. So don't let anyone condemn you for what you eat or drink, or for not celebrating certain holy days, or new moon ceremonies, or Sabbaths. For these rules are only shadows of the reality to come, and Christ himself is that reality. Don't let anyone condemn you by insisting on pious self-denial or the worship of angels, saying they have had visions about these things. Their sinful minds have made them proud. And they are not connected to Christ, the head of the body, for he holds the whole body together with its joints and ligaments, and it grows as God nourishes it. You have died with Christ, and he has set you free from the spiritual powers of this world. So why do you keep on following the rules of the world, such as don't handle, don't taste, don't touch? Such rules are mere human teachings about things that deteriorate as we use them. These rules may seem wise because they require strong devotion, pious self-denial, and severe bodily discipline, but they provide no help in conquering a person's evil desires. I love that line.
Yeah. No help.
No help. Yeah. Self-deny all you want. It doesn't help.
Yeah.
Oops. Chapter 3. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the reality of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven and not the things of earth, for you died to this life, and your life, real life, is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. So, put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world, but now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language.
Damn, I fell miserably on that
one. All of them. Dang. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. Become like Him, not become Him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave, or free. Christ is all that matters, and He lives in all of us. Since God chose you to be the holy people He loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. This one's hard, too. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Think about that, man. Like, and you think about the context of our culture and our society. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom He gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. It's exactly what happens in those moments. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting for those who belong to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and never treat them harshly.
It's true. I mean, it's...
Yep. Children, always obey your parents, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not aggravate your children, for they will become discouraged. Sheesh. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything you do. Try to please them all the time, not just when they are watching you. Serve them sincerely because of your reverent fear of the Lord. Work willingly at whatever you do as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward and that the master you are serving is Christ. But if you do what is wrong, you will be paid back for the wrong you have done, for God has no favorites.
Oof.
Yep. God is good, though.
Yes.
He's fair and just and faithful and kind. Masters, it's funny that I just said faithful and just and fair. Masters, be just and fair to your slaves. Remember that you also have a master in heaven. Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Pray for us, too, that God will give us many opportunities to speak about His mysterious plan concerning Christ. That is why I'm here in chains. Pray that I will proclaim this message as clearly as I should. Live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone. I'm not going to read that last bit. It's just the final deal. Talking about somebody coming to visit and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
There's a lot to unpack in that. Interestingly, we've read that a few times. We've read it at least a couple times in group, and we've read it some of it here too. And that's one of the ones that we were reading where we went from listening to all these encouraging things about what Christ has done. And when it started talking about our behavior, like we immediately took the condemnation piece of it instead of focusing on what Christ has done, like He was telling us. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So very, very good selection today.
It's a good one.
Fantastic.
Always a good one.
Always good. 43 today.
Yep.
We're getting very close.
Nine more.
Very close to our goal for the year.
52. No matter what.
And next year will be season 2.
Yep. For Bumper Sticker Wisdom, I'm Jason.
And I'm John. Mm-hmm.